Pastor Dave Rolfe suggests listening and being receptive to what others have to say.
Sometimes I'm just in a restaurant and I overhear a conversation and I just eavesdrop on them and listen to it. It's amazing what you can learn when you listen. But Solomon would go, if you don't want to be some stupid old person, if you'd rather be a smart old person, shut up and listen a little bit and really let it sink in, receive, be receptive. That simple phrase, you know, you might be right. Learn to use that often because we all have things to learn from a diversity of people.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
We have decisions both big and small to make virtually every day, whether it's to take that job offer or move across country or get married. Now you can decide to go it alone, like many do, but the wise approach is to hear what others have to say before reaching a decision. Today on The Balanced Word, discover the value of getting good and godly advice. Pastor Dave Rolfe is highlighting various proverbs, helping us get on the road to smarter living.
This morning we are continuing our series looking at the book of Proverbs. We call the series Smarter Living because Solomon, who was said to be the wisest man to ever live, wrote down his wisdom and really just tells us how to do life better. And, you know, basically the way your life turns out is to a huge degree a product of the decisions that you make. When you make good decisions, it leads to better life. I think that's pretty obvious. I don't have to labor that point. Now, how you make those decisions is a product, ultimately, of the information that you have. If you get good information, if you're able to anticipate and strategize and know what the effects of your decisions are, then that's what it comes down to, ultimately. And so today we're going to talk about what Solomon says about getting advice, about counsel. It's not so much about formal counseling. It's really about just how do you gain perspectives from other people? Because none of us knows everything. None of us always knows what to do. And wise people listen to others to gain a perspective they wouldn't have otherwise. Therefore, you minimize the number of times when you make a decision and then something happens and you're like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. I had no idea that that could happen. All that comes back to getting good input, getting valuable perspective from other people. And so we're going to look at several passages where Solomon talks about this and gives us some different angles on it and then kind of make a few observations at the end, wrapping it up. First of all, if you have a Bible, turn over to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14. Proverbs 11, 14. Solomon says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Failure that comes from not getting advice, success coming from wow, I am so much more secure when I have a multitude of counselors. Now, that doesn't just mean listening to what a lot of people say. The idea is every person who gives you advice has something to offer if they have a perspective that's different than yours. So if you just sit there and talk to 20 people who all agree with each other, that's not what he's talking about. But the idea is a diversity of counselors, different people with different perspectives, creating in our lives the kind of security that says, you know, I wouldn't have thought of that, but somebody else did, and it made me think a little differently about it, and therefore I was more equipped. Now, again, when we talk about counsel, we're not talking about having other people tell you what to do. That's not counsel. You know, that's brainwashing. But what you're talking about is, I at least want to hear all the different perspectives that I can think of so that when I make my decision, I'm making the best decision possible. So Solomon would say, by getting a diversity of perspectives, I then create a safety net kind of under what I'm doing. And it's just, it would be stupid not to do that, to just go, I'm the smartest guy in the room, I'm just going to do what I want to do. Bad way to do life, for sure. Now turn over to chapter 15 and verse 22. And we get a little different angle on this. Proverbs 15, verse 22 says, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Hopefully, everyone has a plan. Hopefully, everyone kind of sits and thinks, okay, where do I go next? How am I going to do what I'm going to do? What's going to work in my life? What's going to be productive? We all have plans for our careers, generally. Oh, there are people who don't, and they also have no careers. But, you know, in general, you look at your future, and you try to anticipate, what could I do now that's going to make life better in the future? You make your plans. Well, what Solomon says is, if you want your plans to work, if you want to have plans that, you know, you say, oh, I love it when a plan comes together. If you want your plan to come together and have fruition, then get the perspective of a multitude of counselors. Listen to what people have to say. They will think of things that you wouldn't have thought of. So you don't buy into their plan. You don't go to somebody else and say, you know, like you're hanging onto your umbilical cord looking for a place to plug it in. Nobody else runs your life, you do. But at the same time, if you want your plan to work out, then listen to all the possibilities that people can mention, especially wise people. You don't really need to listen to stupid people. You have enough of that yourself. But, you know, but just, you know, to say, here's my plan. Now let me hear what people have to say about it, that people that I would respect. And so plans work better when we do this. Now turn over to chapter 19 and verse 20. He says, listen to counsel and receive instruction. Listen and be receptive to instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. There are people who, as they get older, just get more stubborn, set in their ways, and more oblivious to what's going on around them. There are other people who, as they get older, they actually get wiser. They start to do life better. They tend to make better decisions. Well, what Solomon says is, here are two keys to that. Do you listen, and are you really receptive? Will you allow it to sink in? There are people who get advice, but they don't really listen to it. There are people who want to, they come in and say, hey, I'd like to get your counsel. And then they talk the whole time. Like, okay, you really want somebody just to listen to you, maybe agree with you, right? But listening and being receptive. There are voices all around us that can offer us some help. Sometimes it comes from conversations. Sometimes I'm just in a restaurant and I overhear a conversation and I just eavesdrop on them and listen to it. It's amazing what you can learn when you listen. But Solomon would go, if you don't want to be some stupid old person, if you'd rather be a smart old person, shut up and listen a little bit and really let it sink in, receive, be receptive. That simple phrase, you know, you might be right. Learn to use that often, because we all have things to learn from a diversity of people. If all you do is talk to people who are just like you, they're just going to reinforce you being the way you are. But a multitude of counselors listening to people who maybe disagree with you and figure out why they think the way they do. Often, if you really listen, there's something there. But personally, I mean, we can't help it. We're all going to be old someday. But I'd rather be a smart old person than a stupid old person. And according to the wisest person ever, listening and being receptive is a tipping point of how that works out, how that happens. And so that's something that we need to certainly take to mind. Now let's turn over to the next chapter, chapter 20 and verse 5. Where Solomon says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. The idea here is, you know things and you sense things, but a lot of times it's really buried under a lot of garbage and a lot of distractions and everything else. And so he says, what you want to do with advice is not only listen and be receptive, like he said in chapter 19, but realize that it takes time to kind of draw it out. There's such an advantage to spending time just talking about an issue or talking about a decision that you have to make and bouncing it around off of people. Quite often, something will pop up in that conversation that you're like, I hadn't even thought of that myself, and now I'm just thinking of it. Sometimes when somebody else is talking, you hear what they're saying, and it's like, whoa, that made me think of this. So the idea here is counsel is like a well that you draw from. Therefore, you need to be patient. You need to take some time. Good advice never comes quickly. It just takes time to work through it all. And Solomon understood that. Don't be in a hurry. It's deep. It is in there. You know what you really want to do, but sometimes it's not the first thing that comes off the top of your mind. Now turn over to chapter 24, verses 5 and 6. Solomon here says, a wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Here he is saying, getting counsel is really important when you're going to war, when you are in a battle. And it's important for a couple of different aspects that he points out. First of all, if you're in a war, you really want to win. It's going to be kill or be killed, and you need to understand that you're in a war, and you need to know how to strategize in order to be effective in that war. But you also, as he says, you need to know what your war is. There are a lot of people who are always at war with everyone and everything. And most of the time fighting a battle that isn't even theirs, a battle that they're just wasting their efforts on. I think a lot of times now there are situations where political battles need to be waged, but you have to be sensible about it. And for instance, if I think that I can turn Orange County back to the 60s where it was all, you know, John Schmidt and conservatism and everything, hey, guess what? That ship has already sailed. So if I'm fighting to give Jesus back, you know, Orange County, I'll wear myself out trying to talk people who are being paid by the government, you know, to vote for them. And like, I'm trying to talk them into seeing things my way. It's not my battle. I may have opinions on it, but I'm not going to spend all of my energy trying to gain political victories when I live in a state that's so far opposed to the way I generally look at things that it's just not a battle that I'm going to win. You have to pick your battles. There are some people who think that their war is against people, so they're always trying to convince people to change people. We've got to do this. The Bible tells us your battle is against values. Your battle is against spiritual powers, evil forces. Understand, your battle isn't against people. If you just are always fighting against people, everybody loses those kind of battles. But Solomon says, when you get counsel, you will understand where the fruitful warfare is, and you'll know how to strategize and to do that battle. I think for, you know, for all of us, sometimes we would just rather not even think about being in a battle. And there are a lot of people who, when it says, oh, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, you're like, nah way, I'm not, I don't even believe in that stuff. That's not my battle. Well, if somebody's being attacked, if somebody is in a war and they're in denial about it, there's a word for that. It's called loser. Because we need to know where we are in a battle, and we better do battle. Pastor Ken sent me a quote from Leon Trotsky who said, you may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you. There are people who are trying to destroy you. There are forces that want you to lose. To go into denial, for instance, there are people today who politically correctness makes it so that no matter what kind of atrocities are done by people who align themselves with, you know, the Islamic State, they don't ever want to call it that. the guy down in Orlando. He shoots, 100 people, and he says he's doing it for ISIS. They're looking like crazy to find some other reason. Maybe he's some latent homosexual or something, and he's doing it because they don't want to realize that actually there is an extreme wing of a religion that really does want to destroy us. They say they do, but we don't want to believe that. Let's not call it that. Let's not say that. Well, if that's what you do, you won't even admit that you're in a war. You're just going to lose the war, that's all. So getting perspective from others helps us to pick our battles. And it helps us to be able to know how to do battle, how to create a strategy. Most of us burn up all of our energy fighting battles that aren't even ours or that we can't possibly win. Instead, we got to be smart about it and go, where is my main battle right now? How do I fight that? And that's what, perspective from other people can really offer us. And then finally, turn over to chapter 27, verses 5 and 6, where Solomon says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The idea that he's saying is, a lot of times when somebody tells you what you need to hear, it's going to hurt. It's going to make you uncomfortable. In fact, no one ever really helped you by telling you what makes you feel good, because that just tells you they're not giving you a different perspective than what you already have. They're just cheering you on. And as Solomon points out, some of the phoniest people in the world will say things that make you feel good, because they're just manipulating you. That's all they're trying to do. And some of your best friends in the world in terms of giving you advice are people who tell you something that when you hear it, you're like, ouch. And quite often, we go, somebody will tell us something, and we're like, you didn't say that very nicely. Well, if you had only done it this way, or if you had picked a better time to do it, or whatever. Forget that. If you are getting a perspective that you need to see, sometimes it will hurt you. In fact, if somebody never tells you anything that's painful, they're probably not a valuable counselor to you, because we all need to be, have our feathers ruffled. We all need somebody to rattle our cage. You need to encourage relationships with people, not people who just do that all the time. There are some people who are so contrary that whatever you think, they're going to go, wrong. That's not helpful. But understand this, a true friend is sometimes going to wound you. And you better be so appreciative of the value of their input that the wounds, you let them, they heal. You'll get through it okay. So Solomon has a lot to say, obviously, about counsel, and there are a lot of other scriptures where he talks about it too. The question is, if most of us could look at this and go, well, yeah, definitely. When I get a various perspective, I make better decisions. I have better wisdom. I anticipate potential problems that I didn't otherwise. My plans seem to work out better. Boy, yeah. Well, then the question is, why do most people just not get much good counsel or good advice? Why do most of us really not seek it out the way that we would even say, yeah, it's a good thing, I'm all for it, and yet we don't do it? How does that happen? And there are probably a lot of reasons why people don't seek counsel, but there are a few of them that I think are really obvious. First of all is pride. The truth is, if I really think that I already know what should happen, and I think I'm the smartest person in the room, why should I ask somebody for advice? I already know. I know what they're going to say. I don't need any new information. That's stupid living like that. Thinking that you already know what you want, you're not even open, that maybe you're wrong in some way, or maybe there's a different strategy that might work better. Pride. It takes humility to just open yourself up. Now, let me make it really clear. When we're talking about counsel, we're talking about advice, we're not talking about letting other people make your decisions for you. It's your decision. You own it. It's just about hearing other opportunities and possibilities and perspectives, that's all. If you think that you can't learn anything from somebody else, you're just prideful. You have an ego problem. And so, you know, Solomon makes it really clear throughout the book of Proverbs that pride is something that will destroy you. And I think a lot of people, out of their own pride, they just don't want to get anybody else's perspective. But a second thing that I think causes people to not want to get counsel sometimes is fear. You know, maybe you're afraid of what they're going to say. Maybe you're afraid that if you ask for advice that it makes you look stupid. Perhaps you've been abused by people. There are people in your life who, you know, gave you their perspective and it was just a total put down and it was insulting and it was so painful and you didn't feel like they really loved you. They looked down at you. As a result, you just decide, you know what? I'm just going to keep people away. I don't even want to hear it. I'm afraid of what you're going to say, so I'm not even going to ask. I can sometimes tell when people that I know are, you know, making a really bad decision and they sort of avoid you. They're like, oh, you know, all of a sudden, wait, we used to talk all the time. Well, now you're not talking to me about something this major in your life. It kind of tells me that I'm afraid to even hear that I might be wrong. I've made up my mind. I know what I'm going to do. And in the past, people have hurt me. So I'm just afraid. I'm afraid you'll tell me to do something that I don't want to do. So pride, fear, both contribute. I think a lot of times for Christians, another thing that causes us to not get good input from people is a kind of a superstitious, mystical attitude that you think that the way you're going to hear from God is the voices in your head. Now, there's a word for that, schizophrenia. But you know, it's like some people, and a lot of times pastors talk about it this way, that just, you know, you don't need to hear what people have to say. You just need to hear what God tells you. So listen carefully, and that voice, it's God. When God speaks to people, he uses his word, he uses his people. Sometimes, amazingly, in the scriptures, he uses people who don't even believe in him, and yet they have a perspective, they offer some valuable input. It really is not mentally healthy to just sit and wait for your imaginary friend to speak to you. It really isn't. When God speaks to you, he does it in a variety of ways. And if we just decide to cut ourselves off from most of the information that's out there, we're cutting ourselves off from most of what God's going to say. Again, ultimately, bottom line, you have to do what you think God wants you to do. But if God has told us, make sure that you listen to other people. Make sure that you listen to people who see things differently than you.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. As we return to Pastor Dave, he points out that it matters who we go to for advice.
If you have kids, and you really want advice on how to raise kids. Raising kids is really challenging. Well, you would start by talking to somebody whose kids turned out in a way that you go, man, I'd like my kids to turn out like his kids, her kids. You start there, like somebody who's doing it. You don't go get financial advice from somebody who's broke. You don't go and get, you know, advice on your diet from somebody who's 100 pounds overweight. You find somebody who's actually kind of doing life in a way that you go, that's kind of what I'd like my life to look like. And go there. That's not putting down everyone who isn't qualified. It's just recognizing that you don't get wisdom by failing.
We'll hear more about getting good advice next time on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. Have a great weekend. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.